This year, sponsored by Rav Yitzchak Friedman and family, Rilo Nishnimas, his father, Rav Yosef Moshe Ben Rav Tzvi, our learning from Yitzchus for the Neshama, for the Mishpacha. Before Yontiv, we were talking about the Isser in buying hot property. Right? It says it's a Isser Chamura, Zafnei Iver, Nisayeya, Ganodin. If people wouldn't buy hot property, there would be less thefts in the world. So that's what we talked about, that it's prohibited to do it. I'd like to talk now, this week and next week, on what happens if you made a mistake, or purposely did do it. What are your responsibilities to return it? Now, there's a lot of different variables. We're going to divide it into two variables. This week we're going to talk about if you bought it before the owner had given up hope of ever finding it again, before he gave up hope of finding it again, meaning the owner was still hoping to find it. Next week we'll talk about what happens if he had already given up hope. So this week's case we're talking about Sefer Torah or Tefillin, a pair of Tefillin that someone had gotten stolen. And you went and bought it from a cheap place, an auction house or a pawn shop, and eBay, and you found a cheap pair of tefillin or a cheap Sefer Torah. Then when you got it home, you saw that it's someone that you know. You recognize that either the shul you recognize or the person you recognize, this wasn't from 500 years ago that someone had found. And the assumption is, and you can find out, well, the case we're talking about, the case it was a Maaseh Shaya, the Kinyan Torah Balacha talks about, was that they had called the police, the theft victim, who had lost, he talks about about tefillin, the person who had got his tefillin stolen had called the police, and every day he called the police and said, did you find them yet? He hadn't given up hope of recovering them, he was hoping to recover them. It's before Yish, the police hadn't closed the case yet, they were still working on it. It was still an active case, and you now have these tefillin. So, of course, you have to return it to him. That's not a shaila. It's his tefillin. He didn't. There's no yush. There's no shinoi kona like we talked about last time. There's no change. It's the same tefillin, and they're Reuven's tefillin. You have to give him back. The question is, do you get any compensation for it? Or is it just too bad? It was a bad purchase on your part. That's the sugya that we're going to talk about tonight. So it's a sugya in Bava Kama, Hagolos Perek, Hagolos Kama. The Gemara says like this: Itmar, Gonav Umochar. If someone stole articles and he sold it to another person, V'achir Kachukar Haganav. Then the thief was discovered. We'll see whether we need that, but in Gemara's case is the thief was discovered. Rav Mishnei Rechia Amar. Rav says in the name of Rechia, Hadin and Marishon. The Gemara doesn't know what that means at first. The Gemara, I put the maskana, but the Gemara just says the words just mean he has rights towards the first one. Who the he is and who the first one is, that's the whole machlokas in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Shmei Rav Yana Yamar. Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rav Yana Hadin and Masheni, the claim is with the second one. Once again, we'll see right now the mahalach we're going to use for this sugya. Rav Papa said there's three, four different shitas in what the machlokas is about. Rav Papa says this is a pshat in the machlokas. The glima the kuli ama lo pligi the heart of the mare. In this case, everyone holds, and Rashi learns this case is talking before Yiyush. In this case, everyone holds that the shirt, the stolen shirt, the stolen cloak, has to go back to the owner. It's his glima, it's his cloak, and he never was miyayesh. It was stolen from him, and now you got it from the robber. You also might be considered a robber or accessory or something. You certainly have to give it back. What's the shaila? And really, me'ikar adin, he shouldn't have to pay you a penny. Right? It's stolen property. You bought it from a thief. It was always his, and you have to give it back. The fact that you spent money for that, so you're right. It's a mekach toz. Go back to the ganav and get the money from him. And that's what the halacha should be. The shaila though is, hacha v'asava takanas hashuk ha-miflugi. Here the shaila is, did they make a takan, something called takanas hashuk, a takana for the marketplace. Right, if people would always have to worry that if they're buying something, well, it might be if it's stolen, they're going to lose all their money, they wouldn't, commerce would suffer from that because people would be scared to buy anything. And that wouldn't be a good thing. So the shaila is, maybe the Chachamim make a takana for the shuk, a takana for the marketplace, to say that even though if I ended up buying something stolen, mi'ikaradin, I should have to just give it back and not get any compensation for it, but the Chachamim make a takana that I should go, I can get the $1,000 back from the owner, and then the owner will go to the ganav and get the $1,000 from him. That's the shaila of the Gemara. That's the machlokas. Rav Mishmei Rabbi Chiya Amar Hadin Marishan. Rav says the Nero Chiya, the din, we're talking about what the buyer who has to return that stolen item, where does he get his compensation from? Rav says Hadin Marishan, he can only go to the thief, the one he got it from. The first person in his story, the person he bought it from, he can only go to him to get his compensation and not from the owner. We didn't make a takanas hashuk. Din de lokeach de lishko zuzei mi ganav. The din is the lokeach has to take his money from the ganav. But also with takanas lashuk, they didn't make any takana for the marketplace. Rav Yochanan mishun drama yani amak. Rav Yochanan says, and this is the way we paskin. Hadin hasheni, the claim of the buyer, he can also go to the second person who he was involved with, which in this case is the owner, because din de lishko mivala bais lokeach can take the money from the Baal HaBayis, because also batakona sashuk, because the Chacham didn't make hatalkona for the marketplace to enhance commerce. People shouldn't be scared to buy items in the marketplace. So in this case, the lokeach, the buyer who bought this stolen property, has the option of either going back to the Ghana, which might not be so pleasant, or going to the owner, which is easier. Here's your Sefer Torah, give me the $1,000 that I paid for it, and that is the way we paskin. Let's see the way Shulchan Aruch says it. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shinran Vav, Sif Beis, Hagonev, someone who stole property, Umochar, and he sold it to another person, Vilon is Yaisho Avaylim, where we're talking where there's no Yiyush, Va'achrakal Chukar HaGanav, and then they discovered who the Ganav was, Chazer Achev is Levailim. The object goes back to the original owner because it's his. It never left his possession. Levailim nosim lelokeach donim shenosim leganav, and the owners have to give the money to the buyer that he paid the ganav mimnei takanas hashuk, because of the takana they make for the marketplace, this remedy of the marketplace, that even though really the buyer should go back to the one who sold it to him, the hot item, and say, look, this is a fraudulent sale, and get the money from him. But that's difficult to do. And there's a takana from the Chachamim that when he gives the object, the stolen object, back to the owner, he gets the money from the owner himself. And the owners go and they take up their case with the ganav. Now, what happens if you don't know who the ganav is? You just find out, you buy the Sefer Torah, and the seller ran away. Right? He came in town one day selling svarim, and then the next day he's gone, and you find out that some of these things were stolen. So the Sma says, Kolshkin is the takana shuk in that time. We have to tell you that even when you know who the ganav is, you might think in that case, why should you bother the poor theft victim? He had enough sorrows, he lost his object. So maybe you should, certainly in that case, it'd be worthwhile to tell the buyer to go back to the ganav. You know who the ganav is. Go back to the ganav, who you bought it from, and get your money back from him. So the halacha is, no, even in that case, we make a takana sashuk. Even in that case where you could say, let him go to the ganav, he can take his money from the original owner. And certainly if we don't know who the ganav is and he just finds out that this was a stolen object and there's proof that it was stolen, he would have to give it back to the owner of it, and the owner certainly in that case would pay him because there's no option of him getting his compensation. But that's what the Sma says, and I don't see anyone argue. Now I just have this case, the Kenyan Torah, this is his case by the Tefillin. He says the case that we're talking about, where there was stolen tefillin, was a case where he had given it over to the police, and the police were still looking for it. The case wasn't closed yet. This was a typical situation of there being no yiyush. The owner has not given up hope of recovering the item. So therefore, this halacha that we're talking about applies over here, that since there has been no yiyush, the object belongs to the owner still. Certainly you have to give it back to the owner, but we've seen from the Gemara that there's something called a takana sashuk. There's a remedy of the marketplace, a takana they make for the marketplace, where even though you shouldn't have to get your compensation from the owner, you should have to get it back from the person who you bought it from, but they made a takana that you, when you give the object back to the owner, you can claim the money from him, and that's a halacha psuka that no one argues with. Now, there's Gemara goes further, which gets us into a little bit more of a problem. Gemara says like this: Amar Rava. There's more Gemaras, but this is a little bit further on the Amud there. Amar Rava. Rava said, "In ganav meforsim hu, if the seller is a known thief, right? Everyone knows that this person's a thief. He's crooked. He always sells hot merchandise." Or you can tell from the circumstances that what he's selling is hot. So then, lo osabo takona sashuk. They didn't make any takona in that case. Why? Because it's pashit. Because if you're going and buying hot merchandise and you know that this person's a thief, so why should we make any takona for you to enhance the naval commerce? Just don't buy from thieves and you won't have the problem. So the Gemara says a simple svara that we would understand well. The Rava says that if the ganav is meforsim, if it was a known, it's not that he bought it on eBay and he didn't know who it was, he thought it was illegitimate, someone was just selling it at an estate sale and they're just selling everything cheap. Right? It wasn't like that. It was something that in that case you don't know who the ganav is, but in this case you knew who the ganav was. In this case, when you know who the ganav is and there's no takana sashat, I announced it. So that's what the Rava says. In fact, the Gemara of Hanan Bisha didn't enforce him. Hava. Everyone knows Hanan Bisha. His name was Ratan Hanan. So Hanan Bisha, Ratan Hanan was well known. But also, but Takana Hashuk, there was a Maisa that happened that they made a Takana Hashuk with him. So the Gemara answers, Nehi, the Meforsim Bishusim. We knew he was Ratan, but like Nehivosa, lo Meforsim, we didn't know that he also stole. We just knew that he was a rotten person, that he, you know, wouldn't smile at you, he would try to cheat you maybe, but that he actually would sell stolen merchandise, that we don't know. So that's what Rava says. If the ganav is meforsim, there's no takanas ashok. It's your fault. You bought the stolen property, so give it back to the owner. And if you want to get your money back, go back to the thief that you bought it from. But that would be a simple halacha. However, the Gemara then goes on, gives other cases where takanas ashok doesn't apply or where there's a machlokas. The Gemara concludes. Hilchasa, the kulo, the halachas in all the cases that it mentioned between this case of ganav meforsim and that space until the end of the Amud there, hilchasa b'kulo asibah takanas hashuk. The halacha is that in all cases the takanas hashuk applies. The barmi ganav ganav upara b'chov, except for a case where you stole, where a person stole the money and not that he sold it to a person, but he paid off a debt to that person, or gone of a par by kefo, or he stole something and used that object or the money to pay back someone he owed credit. In that case, there's no takana sashuk. Now, based on this Gemara, it would seem that, well, there's no takana sashuk there's no exclusion of takana sashuk by a ganav meforsim. However, Tosus says that this final hilchasa only applies to cases where there was a machlokas. But since no one argued with Rav in the Gemara, Rav just said if it's a known thief, there's no takanas hashuk. So this halach hilchasa doesn't apply, and there is no takanas hashuk by ganav meforsim. That's the way the Rambam paskins also. However, the Rush says the Hilchasa, he quotes the different Tosfos, he says the Rush says that this Hilchasa applies even here. The Hilchasa applies even to the case of a ganav, applies even to a ganav mefursim, he says that since the Gemara says has to exclude, well, we're excluding the case where he paid off a debt with it or paid off a credit that he owed, so it must be that there's, he says, mechlav, mirhutzrach, lahotzi, par v'chova, par v'hekev, since the Gemara had to spell out, the exception was, except for the case of where he paid off his debt or paid off a credit, apa gavdu lekabu pulukta, even though there was no machlok in that case also, mechlav, the chol inuch also but takana sashok, it must be that the takana sashok applies in all the cases that we listed, afil aganim beforsam, even the case of aganim beforsam, but the Rosh does agree, and we'll see that this is going to be no gaya. You don't know the seller's a ganav, but you know that the object is stolen. You know you're buying hot merchandise. Then then the Rosh agrees. There's no takana sashuk. In other words, there's a machlokas v'shonim. How you learn the final line of the Gemara? Do we make a takana sashuk when you know the seller is a thief? Do you have to assume that what you're getting is hot merchandise, or at least be afraid you're getting hot merchandise or not? The Rambam says that there is no takana sashuk by a ganav meforsam. It's your fault. You bought something from a thief. You should know that what you probably bought was hot merchandise. You have to give it back to the owner without getting compensation from him. Go to the ganav to get your compensation. The Rosh says, no, I'm sorry. This takana sashuk applies even if you know he's a thief. But if you know that this specific item that you bought is stolen, so in that case, even the Rosh agrees that there's no takana sashuk. You can't get your money back from the owner. You have to go back to the ganav to get it. How does it come out in Shulchan Aruch? Well, it's a machlokas v'shonim, so it's going to be a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, continuing the halacha that we started before, v'im ganav meforsam hu, if he's a well-known ganav, lo asu bo takanas hashuk. They didn't make the takanas hashuk in that case, like the Rambam paskins, vein habayim notin lokeach klum, the owners don't have to give a penny to the buyer, elachozer alokeach, the lokeach has to go back, those that didn't, maganav, he'll take up the case with this thief, and get back the money that he paid, and good luck. But that's what he has to do. He can't get any, he has no claim to the owner. It was his problem, his fault in buying from a ganav meforsam. He shouldn't have bought things from a known thief, and it's his problem. The Ramah, though, passes like the Rosh. Yesh omrim, da'af ve'ganav meforsam, even if it's a ganav meforsam, also takana sashuk, there is still this takana in place. V'tzarech lahachzer lelokeach ma'osav, and the owner, therefore, when he gets his object back, has to pay the buyer, compensate him for the money that he paid for it. Ela im kein yada lokeach, unless the buyer knew shezeh hadavar shekana ganav, unless you know that particular thing that he bought was stolen, that there the Rosh agrees, shezeh lahachzer lelokeach, there even the Rosh agrees that he has to give back that object, and he doesn't get any compensation for it. So the machlok and Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, what we do by a ganav meforsam. The Shach says, our Shulchan agrees that here we go like the Mechaber. Right, we don't normally pass like the Mechaber against the Ramah by Ashkenazim, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Aruch HaShulchan both say that we have to be Machmer like the Shulchan Aruch over here, and say, well, so, however you call it, a Chumrah, but you have to assume that the Shulchan Aruch is correct in this case, that if you bought something from a known thief, so in that case, you can't get your money back from the owner, you have to find the thief to get your money back from over there. So that's the background. Now the Kinyan Torah Ba'alacha now looks at his case. We had the Sefer Torah, and once again we're talking where there was no Yiyush yet of the owners, so it still belonged, it certainly belonged, the Sefer Torah, or the Tefillin, I mean, certainly belonged to the owner still. So the question though is, when you give the Tefillin back to him, do you get compensation from him, or do you have to find the Ganav? So the Kinyan Torah said, the Choron, the case where you bought tefillin cheap, he bought these tefillin very cheap. He bought them at a price which was, he says, was even less than a fourth of the normal price of even old tefillin. And you got it cheaper than that price. So the price should tell you that this is a case of a ganav meforsam. he should have realized from that that he says that makes like a ganav of horse, and the chorus it makes it even worse. It makes it like you know that this item is stolen. But that's what he says. It makes it like a ganav of horse. Now, if it's a ganav of horse, so now according to the Shulchan Aruch, you don't, the owner doesn't have to pay back. The owner doesn't have to pay back to the buyer the value. The buyer has to go to the ganav and get his money back from that. That's what he says at first. However, he says, one, the truth is, we do have the Ramah. The Ramah does say that the Takanas Hashuk applies even by an own ganav. The Ramah does say that. And then he says, even though you got it cheap, maybe it's not so pashut that it's stolen. Maybe he got it cheap, like we said before, it was an estate sale, or he's going out of town, he just needs the money right away, the person doesn't know what stolen are maybe even, and he just wants to get rid of them, it's not something he usually deals with. He got this from an estate. Someone told me that, I don't know if I mentioned to you that in the beginning of eBay, that he used to be able to get svarim very cheap from eBay because people were selling books from their grandfathers that they couldn't read and they didn't know what they were, so they just made a sale of old books and they had pictures on them, and you could see that they were like a good svarim, they would get cheap. And they say you can't do it anymore because everyone knows about it. So it could be that maybe that's what King Yitro Malacha says. Maybe it's not so posh because it's such a cheap price that it was stolen. Maybe he doesn't know what it is. He has some other reason why he was selling it so cheap. So he concludes that the best thing would be for the owner to give the money back to the person who found the tefillin, who bought the tefillin, and he says that that's the way he concludes the tshuva. There's a similar shayla we mentioned. The Arkos HaMishpatim has a similar tshuva he brings from another shayla tshuva sefer, where it was a sefer Torah stolen. So in that case, he said that a sefer Torah that gets stolen becomes well known. He said, in that case, everyone in town knew the sefer Torah was stolen. Everyone was looking for it. There was signs all over the place, and the police were looking for it. Everyone knew a sefer Torah was stolen, and this person went and bought it under such circumstances. So he said, in that case, everyone would agree that since everyone knows the sefer Torah is being stolen, you wouldn't be able to use the takana shuk in that case because it's your fault. You know, this stolen sefer Torah, and you buy a sefer Torah cheap. And then, lo and behold, it happens to be the same one that got stolen. That's already fishy. You should have realized, and it's nice that now the sefer Torah is getting back to where it belongs, but you lost your money, and if the ganav is ever found, then he has any money, so you'll make your claim from him. Right, so these are two similar cases with different conclusions just based on the circumstances. The Kenya Torah's case, he said, well, you had some excuse to maybe say that it wasn't stolen. The pair of tefillin, it wasn't such a well-known thing that they got stolen. So one person's private tefillin, not everyone knew it was stolen, and you have an excuse to say why it might have been so cheap. And there is the Ramah who says that even if it's a ganav of horsim, you have some heter, which I'm not sure, once again, I'm not sure how that works so well, because here the issue is that the item looks like it's stolen. You don't know that the person's a thief. Maybe this is the first time he ever stole in his life. But anyway, that's what he says. The main taina he has, or the one that I understand, is that it could be some other excuse why it was being sold so cheap. It's not so poshut that it was stolen. So in that case, since it's not so poshut, you can rely on the takanas hashuk and get your money back. In the second case, where it was a sefer Torah stolen, and a sefer Torah, there was a rumors everyone knows a sefer Torah stolen. It's all over town, and you bought a sefer Torah cheap from someone you don't know who they are. So that was your problem, and we can't say, well, we made a takana for you because, you know, what you have done, how can we have to have good commerce. There's no such thing. You should have been careful.
In the Kenya Torah's case, is that a din on the bezin, or is that a din on the individual? In other words, can the individual kind of, I didn't know, even though he knows he did know?
No, so they all say, the posting say, the dayonim in lo dayna ma shein avros. They have to use their good sense and see whether he knew or not. If he really knew, so then, and the dayanim think, come on, you realize. And they could tell, and he said, well, you know, they could tell that he's really had an ideal about what was going on there, so then he shouldn't claim the money. And they'll pass him that you don't get the money. And that's what they say. I mean, these are being decided by dayanim. The bezin's deciding, does the owner have to pay him or not? So it'll depend on whether they thought that he should have known and realized it or not when he bought that that Sefer Torah or those tefillin. Now, adding insult to injury, if you know that the item is stolen, well, let's go to the case where you know the item is stolen. You know that, let's say, the case of the Sefer Torah. When you bought it, you really had a good reason to assume that this is the stolen, the hot Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah got stolen last week, and all of a sudden, someone comes into town with a station wagon selling a Sefer Torah, and along with pots and pans and the Sefer Torah he has, and he's not Jewish, say, even. You have good reason, we'll go on that soon, but you have reason to assume it's stolen. So, that the item is stolen. So the Ramah says, once again, that if it's a ganav meforsim, he says yeshamrim, that there is a takanas hashuk, then he can continues like we read before, elaim ken yada halokeach shezadav shekana ganav, unless the lokeach knows that the object that he bought is stolen, shaz sarach lahachzav ladonim, in that case he has to return it without get compensated. So then you say, okay, we'll go to the ganav. But then the remark adds insult to injury and says, "Vafilu haganav ein tzarich lahachzir lema'osav." You don't even get your money back from the ganav. Why? Because you knew the item that you were buying was stolen. So why did you give him the money? The vading nosan the same atana. You must have wanted to give this ganav a present. However, you are the same nishalok because you know he's selling something that's not his. The gun, and you bought it anyway. So what reason did you give this ganav $1,000? It must be because you like the ganav, you want to give him a present, and therefore you gave him the money willingly, and you can't be an Indian giver to say you want your money back. So the Ramah paskins that not only can't you get your money back from the owner, because it's not takana shashuk, when you know, once again, it's talking when you know you're buying a hot merchandise, right? We learned last, before Yantav, you're not allowed to. Right? Here you went and did it. You bought something that was that you knew was stolen. It has his name. One of the bicycle has his name etched on it still, and there's been no yush. And you bought it anyway. So certainly you don't get any money back from the owner. In that case, even the Rosh would agree, even the Ramah agrees, you don't get money back from the owner. But the Ramah continues, you can't even get money back from the ganav, because if you buy something that you know is stolen, when you're giving him the money, it must be that's for a present. Now, Shach has a long arichus. I just have two words. The way he starts, he says, Zeru Shagoga. He says, this is a mistake. How can you say that it's a present? You're giving a present to a ganav, you know. But really, what you were hoping was that you'll never get discovered, and you have this cheap thing, and the person who got it stolen, you don't know whose it is. Right? Like, if you really know whose it is, that's really wrong. That's like, probably like stealing. You know it's Reuven, has Reuven's name, and you take it from the ganav, and, you know, so... you don't know who it is though, and probably no one knows who it is, and you have some heter, and you didn't mean to give him a present. You thought that you were going to be able to keep it. Once you get caught, so then it's a mechachtos. But the Aruch HaShulchan and many Yachman and Nesivas, others defend the Psak of the Ramah. The Aruch HaShulchan brings a raya from a Gemara, where the Gemara says that if someone gives money for Kedushin to his sister, the halacha is, we just had in the last week's parsha, that you're not allowed to marry your sister. Someone that all the arayis, you're not allowed to marry them. And suppose you try, you say, Hare amukadeshesli to your sister, and you give her a ring. It's null and void. It's meaningless. You can't marry your sister. But how about the ring? Do you get the ring back? The Gemara says, well, since you know that you're not allowed to marry your sister, and you said anyway, Hare amukadeshesli, and here's a ring, you must have meant to give the ring as a present. Right? So, what do you see from there? You see when you make a transaction that you know is not valid, and you give pay money for it. The Gemara says you meant that money to be a present. So same thing over here. The Aruch HaShulchan says you're buying this hot merchandise from the ganav, and you know it's hot merchandise. You know it's not really yours. You know it still belongs to the original owner. There's been no yush, and even if there was yush, we'll see next week, it might not help. But certainly, if there is no yush, and you know it's still his property, and you spend money for it anyway. You know that you're, I don't know if it's, you have to understand that it's a real present, but you know that your money is gone forever, and whether you want to hope that you get caught or not, that's your business, but you don't have any right to get the money back from the ganav, and the Aruch HaShulchan defends the Psak of the Ramah.
It's not.
No, we're saying that's what your das was. Your das is, I don't know if you have to say, you know, in the time of Kaddish Achosa, there you can see that he likes his sister and he meant to give her a present. But over here, do you like the Gan? You might not ever met him, but I think the Aruch HaShulchan is saying they argue with his Raya. But probably what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying here also, why are you giving the money? You know that you're giving the money forever because you want to take a chance that it you won't get caught. Either money you're giving to him, you know, and he knows that it's stolen, so he knows that you know that it's stolen, and you know that he knows it's stolen, everyone knows it's stolen, you're giving him money anyway. What we're saying is that money is his forever because you're willing to take that chance. If you end up getting caught, you can't go back to him and say, "Yo, by the way, it was stolen." He could say, "Look, you know it was stolen. What's if it's not mekachos here? You knew it was stolen when you bought it. Everyone, it was obvious it was stolen. You can't tell me you didn't know, so you have no way to get the money back. It's not a mekachos." That's what he says. So right now we're up to the point with the tefillin and the Sefer Torah. It would come out like this: that if you buy it stam, not knowing at all that the person that it's stolen, you just think it's a cheap deal that's on the state auction, and like everything is going cheap, and the Sefer Torah is, why not? The Sefer Torah is also going cheap, the tefillin are going cheap. And then you find out that it's stolen, it's clear that it's stolen, it's been no yiyush, you have to give back the property to the owner, and certainly you get the money back from the owner, that's takana sashuk, that's pashit. The second case that's pashit is that if you knew that it was stolen from the circumstances where you could just tell that it was stolen, and you knew the item you were buying was stolen, so then you have to return it to the owner when you identify the owner, and you don't get the money back from the owner, because in that case, there's no takana sashuk. Why'd you buy stolen property? And not only that, according to the Ramah, you don't get money back from the ganav either. You just threw your money out, you're taking the chance, and you lost your money. The Shach says you would get your money back from the ganav at least. The middle case, where you're not sure that this item is stolen, but it's like a fishy operation over there. It's, you know, someone comes with a trailer and he's selling things there, and you know he's stolen in the past. Is he stealing now? Is this stuff stolen or not? You're not sure, but the person's a thief. He's a ganav meforsam. He's a known thief. It's known that this is a crooked business. Everyone knows it's a crooked business, but you don't know if this particular item was stolen. So there we have a machlokus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says there's not going to be a takanas hashuk, because why buy something from a known thief? And the Ramah says that, well, since you don't know the item itself was stolen, takanas hashuk applies. That's a machlokus Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and the Shach says to be machmer like the Shulchan Aruch and say you shouldn't get your money back. Right? So in a case where you don't know the item is stolen, but the circumstances tell you that, and there's no clear circumstances that it's stolen, but you know that the seller is crooked, or he looks crooked, so in that case, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you wouldn't get your money back, because there also, you shouldn't have gotten yourself into such a situation. But in that case, you'd be able to go back to the seller and the ganav and get your money back from him. Okay, now, that would be the case by the tefillin, the Sefer Torah here would be, in a case where you don't know that this particular Sefer Torah was stolen or the tefillin were stolen, but the person is a shady type person, in that case, we would have the machlokas Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. It would seem that we'd have to be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Shach paskins and the Aruch HaShulchan paskins, that you could not get your money back from the owner, you'd have to chase the ganav. Now what happens if the ganav, besides being shady, is an akum? I suppose the ganav is an akum, which could happen. You know, someone comes and, you know, especially selling tefillin and a Sefer Torah, that really makes things look a little bit suspicious over here. The Shach says it's machlok zushanim. You could look the machlok zushanim yourself on the sugi over there. The Baal Amar and the Ramban argue whether there's a takanas hashuk by an akum. Do we assume that we should suspect that the akum selling things that they're stolen or not? The Aruch HaShulchan says, and the Shach also says, that most poskim says no chilik, whether it's from an akum or a Jew, that if he's not a ganav meforsam, we make a takanas hashuk. If he is a ganav meforsam, he's known a ganav, we don't make a takanas hashuk according to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the way they conclude. So in our case, even if you had the Sefer Torah, you would say, even if the Sefer Torah is being sold by someone who's an akum, you say, well, if you don't know that he's a ganav, you don't know he's a ganav, maybe he's a ganav, but you don't know him, so there you would have no eisa to collect from the owner, because the bezin would say, look, you, this was a, this was a, you don't know for sure it was stolen, but it's a ganav. I'm sorry, if you didn't know he was a ganav before, so then you would be able to get your money back for sure, because like any other case, you didn't know he's a ganav. So you should be able to get your money back. But even if he is a ganav before him though, and by say Torah, there might be more reason to think that he's a ganav before him, more reason to think what he's doing, but unless he's selling an estate sale or something like that. So in that case, if he is a ganav before him, in that case he wouldn't be able to get your money back lechora. However, the Ktos HaChoshen has one more wrinkle in this case. He says here on the spot, by Svarim, if you bought Svarim, and we'll talk in future weeks what happens if you were doing Dafka, you know, you go and you see a safer for sale and you want to return it to the owner. You don't want it to lay around in some pawn shop. Here we're talking, you were buying it for your own use. You were just trying to make your own, not to help out anyone. You were buying it for your own use. So if you bought a safer, even though you bought it for your own use, you were just trying to get a good deal over here. You weren't trying to do Hashavas Aveda. So even though we said that if he's a ganav mefursam, in normal circumstances you can't get your money back from the owner, there's no takanas hashuk over there, but the Ktos says there's something new. There's something called takanas svarim. Right? It's true that there's not going to be a problem with commerce over here because no one's going to buy from a ganav mefursam anyway. But there's a takana for the poor svarim. The svarim are being held here by this Akum, who has no shaykhus to Svarim. He doesn't know what to do with them, and he'll probably put them on the floor. And if he doesn't find a buyer, he'll probably throw it away, chas v'sholem. So in that case, there's something called takanas hasvarim, that even though you were buying it for your own use, later you found out that there was a stamp in it that belongs to Reuven, and it was really and Reuven says, yes, it was stolen from me, and you trust him that it was stolen from him, or that he has witnesses that it was stolen from him. So in that case, you have to return. There was no, and he said, I never gave up hope, there was no yiyush, I just stole yesterday, and I was looking all over for it. So you have to give him the sefer back. So even though normally you would say, well, there's no takanas hashok here because you bought it from someone who is a ganav mefursam. But there's a new takana that so says called takanas svarim, that we don't want svarim to be laying around the bizayon, that a person who doesn't know how to handle them should be holding the svarim. So in that case, he says, even though we don't have a takanas hashok, there's something called a takanas svarim. He says if you bought it from a Jew though, then there's not going to be any takana of svarim, because even though the Jew might be a thief, but he's going to take good care of the svarim. He knows svarim you have to give cover to. I'm not sure nowadays that svarim would apply, but he says that in his days all Jews would treat svarim respectfully. So there's no takana svarim in that case. The only thing would be a takana sashuk, but since this Jew is a ganav mefursam, takana sashuk doesn't apply. So in that case, he says, you'd have the regular halacha. So a sefer would be like a bicycle, it would be like anything else, and it wouldn't apply if there's been no yush. So summing up the halachas we learned this week, once again we're talking about objects where there was no yush. Next week we'll talk what happens if it's an old item that the owner probably gave up hope of it long ago. You know, he already got his insurance money from the insurance for the car that got stolen. It's been a year or 2 years. Right? That's going to be next week. But if this we were talking, it's a fresh, hot item. An item that the person is still looking for. So the halachas are that Minikra, then, since he did not have yush yet, it still belongs to the owner. And certainly this object belongs to the owner. It has to be given back to the owner. There's no shayla about that. And then Mi'ikar Adin, he doesn't have to pay you anything. If you have a Mekach Toz, go to the person that you bought it from. Don't bother me. You bought it from that Ganav, go back to the Ganav, and that's a Mekach Toz, get your money back from him. However, the Chacham made a Takana Sashuk, there should be good commerce, should be a Takana, the commerce should work well. They made a Takana that if you return an object to the owner, he should compensate you and he'll go to the Ganav to get his money back. We saw that if the seller was a ganav mefursam, he's a well-known thief, so there is a machlokas whether the takanas hashuk applies, the machlokas shulchan aruch and ramah, we should normally be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch and say it doesn't apply, it does not apply because you shouldn't have bought it from the Ganim Mefursam. Certainly if you knew the item was stolen, there, everyone agrees, even the Rama and the Rosh agrees that if you knew that item was stolen, there is no Takana Sashuk at all, and in that case it could be you don't even get the money back from the Ganim like the Rama said. So in that case, there's no, certainly no Takana Sashuk. Those are the three levels of cases. Then we saw that the same thing, according to most poskim, applies whether the ganav is a Jew or an akum. It doesn't make a difference. And finally, we saw that if the item was a sefer, even though a takana sashuk may not apply, but it's a new thing called the ktos holds called a takana svarim. We don't want svarim to be held by akums who don't know how to treat them properly. And if you bought it, even though you bought it for your own use, and you knew that ganav was a, the seller was a ganav mefursam, he was a well-known thief, which should not entitle you to get your money back, but since it's svarim that you bought, there's a special takana for svarim that you get your money straight back from the owner, and the owner will deal with the ganav.